For today, I really did not have a chance to prepare very much for today. I apologize. But what I want to do with you is just to run through the Gemara just as much time as we have. Try to keep it not to go too much over time. To learn the sugya of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. And just throw out a few just issues. I don't have any big chidushim. This is Gemara in Gidin Daf Nun Hey Amid Beis. It came out this year. I was fascinated with this. A little interest. I'll just say a little secret. Every so often I go to Beagle Eyes is the bookstore in Borough Park. They specialize in getting new things. Now you go to Eichler's, you go to Zundel Berman. They have
old stuff.
No, they have new things. They're very good.
They have also old. If you look
right.
At old Svarim.
Yeah. They have old Svarim and Beagle Eyes. There's also some old. They will have. But if you go to Eichler's and Zundel Berman, they'll have all of the popular Svarim,
yes. Okay.
Which includes things hot off the press and things which have been around for years.
Where is Beagle Eyes?
Is on 16th Avenue and 43rd Street. Beagle Eyes, and they special in things hot off the press. Anything that is published new in Eretz Yisrael and in America, the first place it's sent is Beagle Eyes. And come on, they have every single thing that is new. They have, that's their niche. New. They also have a lot of old things lying around all over the place. But the tables is hot off the press. Everything on the table that you will find, he once told me that he gets in a week, between 60 and 80 every week, new and republished Svarim. Like, it's republished because it hasn't been in print for 20 years. So it's not necessarily new, but all of a sudden it's been republished. Is that a, yeah?
I put my safer in there last year, and for the life of me, I don't know where it is. I mean,
On the English they have on the back table over there. Yeah, because it's the turnover is extremely fast, and the only thing they're doing there, you know, it's a whole different generation. It's a different type of store. But the thing is, they have their things that no one else has, and that they're fine, whatever. So they just get things that the popular stuff that all the stores will have. There are certain little like niche items which somehow they have contacts all over the world, and anything that's public, even in Eretz Yisrael, I don't think there's a store that has this niche that they have everything new that was published, brand new. That's where you'll find it.
It's their windows.
It's remarkable.
In Israel, they'll break their windows.
So a lot of Rabbanim come there to the store. So a guy like me, you know, I walk in, they're not going to pay me any, they're not going to give me any attention. I don't buy too many things anyway. I don't have that kind of money to spend. I come once in a while, I come there, I look around what's doing there. So every so often, Rabbanim come. Chasher Rabbanim come, celebrities. I once saw my friend was there. And they, my friend, he is from Baltimore. So they gave him the whole tour. And one of the people there, they only have like two, three people who work there, the two brothers and a son. And like he goes over this safe, that safe. He goes down the whole table and he tells him, he rattles off all of the new svarim. And then these rebbes come and they go through the... So whenever that happens, I tag along. I want to hear because I don't know what these svarim are. I don't know what's going on. It takes me 10 minutes to go figure out what a safe is. So once I noticed, it was very interesting, you know, a lot of Kuntresim cut out. So by me, in Eichler's, they don't even carry Kuntresim. Who's into in Eichler's, they sell a book, right? Kuntresim, they'll sell a few things, a few very popular Kuntresim. But a lot of people, they have Chidushim, and they don't have the money to publish a full, to go spend $5,000 to go publish a safe. Then who's gonna buy it? How are you going to go get a distributor? If you're not going to publish by a major league publisher, who's going to distribute it? So it's not so simple. So they have a kuntres, so they go to the Beagle Eyes, and if they'll sell a few copies, they will do a lahagel to a lahadira. So they have a lot of kuntres. Again, I don't pay much attention to the kuntres. So I was watching this very chashva, this person I don't know who he was, looking very big Talmud Chacham, and I noticed he goes around with him, and Kamat, he picks up all of the kuntres. And I was like very intrigued. And somehow, because the kuntres, they have the good stuff. You'd be surprised, some of the Kuntresim, the people who publish the Kuntresim have what to say, they don't have the money to publish it, and if they didn't have what to say, they wouldn't put it out. People who publish the books, some people, they just, you know, just for show, and there's not much teichen in the books. And it got me thinking, and every so often, every time I go there, I pay much closer attention to the Kuntresim that are found on the table, because you don't see them in other stores. So, Kachava, I was there recently, and there was a kuntres on the table called Oreshel Olam. What is this kuntres? It is two Gemaras, the Gemara of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, and it is the Yerushalmi Masechta Tainis that deals with the Chorban. Now, over the number of years, I used to always give a share on Tisha B'Av between Mincha Maariv. I used to give a share on Kamsa Bar Kamsa, my father's shul. Whatever we have there, 40 minutes in Mincha Maariv, so 30 minutes, I gave a share for a few people, Kamsa Bar Kamsa. So I would take my classic Gemaras, now the art scroll and the Masifta and prepare. You know, it's hard to find good Torah, good Chidushim on Kamsa. Okay, you have to go search. So it's very deep Maral. But like, you know, to get a Likut. So he put out this Kutras, and he overdoes it. He has Chidushim, it just flows and flows, the Chidushim on Kamsa Bar Kamsa. So I picked it up, and then much time to go through it. The Mechaber is Mordechai Aryeh Halevi Yamnik. Yomnik? I think it's Yamnik. Is it English version of his name? I don't know. It's named Yamnik, it seems. And it's good. Good stuff. So I want to share with you some of the ideas. I'm not going to tell you the Chidushim, just some of the ideas. I'll sort of look more very quickly just for a few minutes. I'll just tell you some of the issues that he deals with. To open up the Gemara, so when you hear a Shir on Tisha B'Av, that comes back home, so you'll be able to start up with your Maggid Shir and say, what does this mean? So the Gemara begins, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mandel Siv, Asher Adam Mefachitav. I'll just read for you. You all know the story anyway. The Gemara begins with a pasuk, Asher Adam Mefachitamid Umaksha Libo Yipol Berav. A person who is afraid, he is fortunate. But a person who's stubborn, Maksha Libo, he hardens his heart, Yipol Berav, he will suffer. And that pasuk defines the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa and the other two stories of a Kamsa Bar Kamsa, Chorv Yushalayim, a Tarnagoyla of a Tarnagolasa, on a male chicken, a female chicken, Chorv Tur Malkonim of a city, which we're probably not going to get to, and Ashka, the Rivsak, Chorv Beitar, and because of this thing called Afsa, the Rivsak, which we'll leave from now, Beitar was destroyed. What?
It was like a
the canopy. Okay, so we'll get. Okay, that's the story. Okay, I didn't prepare that part, so we'll leave that. But this pasuk defines. How does it define? It basically means a person has to look. The way he explains, you have to ezel chacham haroya esanoilat. You can't focus on the moment. This is a very big theme about the Chorban. Don't focus on the moment. You have to look. You have to see the big picture. Mefachei tam, why do people always afraid? What are you afraid of? Real fear is, if I do this, what's going to happen in the future? A mikshel libo, a person who hardens his heart, I don't care about that. That's the whole essence, the difference between a person that's afraid and a person that's stubborn, that's not afraid, that just doesn't care. If you look to the future, there's consequences, ramifications, that brings pachat. If you don't want to look to the future, you just want to focus on the moment, the slice of time, that's called the Miksha Libo. That is the tone that the Gemara is setting for the three major pieces of Gemara that describe Kamsa Bar Kamsa and Beitar and Tur Malka, the chicken, the male chicken, the female chicken, the boy girl that got married, and that whole story, which we'll leave for another time. So here the Gemara begins with the first story. Let's just do the first story very quickly. And there's some of the issues. Kamsa Bar Kamsa Chavisham, because of the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, Hashem was destroyed. What was the Baisha Haya? Now, by the way, it's very, it was linked to a tape from Rabbi Shachter, fascinating Shira, J.J. Shachter. So he was comparing the Gemara with the Medrash, because there's a Medrash that also quotes the story word for word, and it's very different. There are major differences and there are minor differences, nuances, and each opens up a whole new idea if the two stories complement each other or they differ. And when you compare different versions of the same thing, you bring out major chidushim and yesodos. It's a very interesting approach to understand the Gemara by comparing it line by line or even expression by expression with the Medrash to bring out yesodos. So here it starts. Do gav derachmei kam. So about the blode bar comes. The Gemara is very rich. We're not going to go through every little detail, but just something is rachmei his friend. He had a friend. His name was Kamsa, and his enemy was Bar Kamsa. There's a very big discussion: is this father and son? Kamsa is Kamsa, then there's Bar Kamsa. So if you translate the words literally, it means the son of Kamsa.
Yeah.
So that would indicate that it was a father and son. And let's call this person Reuven. Reuven was best friends with the father. But the son, he hated. The son, he had a fight with the son. Very delicate relationship. That also opens up the story, that opens up the story in a whole different light. Because when you're dealing with your friend, the friend is caught in between. My son. How do I deal with the fact that my son is the arch enemy of my friend? It changes the dynamics of what will happen in this story. That's an idea. Some say no such thing. They were two different people. One was Kamsa, one was Bar. Just want to point out some of the issues. Okay, we don't have much time. Just some of the interesting issues which could completely change what the Gemara is talking about. So what happened? He made a Avat Seudas. He made a party. Interesting, it doesn't tell us about the party. It doesn't tell us, was it a bar mitzvah? Was it a wedding? A shev brachas? Maybe it was a sima shas. What was the party? You know, there are many, it's an interesting idea. You go to different types of parties. It doesn't say. I don't know what the party was. Amalei l'shami, he told the servant. He had a servant. Zil isli kamsa, bring me kamsa. Bring me my friend. Go send an invitation. He told the mailman, bring the invitation to my friend kamsa. Azal, the messenger, went, isay le bar kamsa. He brought him the wrong person. He brought him bar kamsa. The mailman put the envelope, the invitation, in the wrong mailbox. Bar kamsa. Bar kamsa was obviously very asa. Ashkid avayasa. So bar kamsa went to the party. What is the enemy going to the party for? So maybe he thought that my enemy is reaching out to me. Right? I'm getting the invitation. He's reaching out to me. Okay, so he went to the party. Now here's another very, very big issue, and he brings in his marach on this. It's very fascinating. What about Kamsa? Did he come to the party also? The real friend. You make a wedding. Next door neighbor. You talk to him every single day by davening. You're next door. Your kids play with each other. And the next doesn't get an invitation to the wedding. What's going on? How come my next door neighbor, he didn't send me an invitation? And I sit next to him in shul? What? So did Kamsa come to the wedding? So there are different opinions. And if he came, that would explain the behavior of Bar Kamsa. What was Bar Kamsa thinking? Doesn't Bar Kamsa right away should have thought, listen, my enemy is Kamsa. He's friends with Kamsa. He's enemies with me. So Bar Kamsa should have had enough seichel to realize that he got the wrong invitation. That the invitation was not meant for him. It was meant for Kamsa. So some learn that Bar Kamsa, he went to the woman. Maybe not. Maybe he's reaching out. He's reaching out. He wants to make up. So there are different opinions. One opinion says that Bar Kamsa went to the party, and he looked from the window. Let me see if Kamsa is there. If Kamsa is there, so that means Kamsa got an invitation. I also got an invitation. He's making up with me. Maybe Kamsa was not there. Kamsa was not there. What does that mean? Okay, I just want to leave the issue open. Did Kamsa come? Yes or no? How did Bar Kamsa react to the fact that Kamsa was there or not? You can play around with this back and forth, and that's what he brings sources that do this back and forth. We don't have time. Yeah, what?
If Kamsa did not come to the party, and he really is not a player in this whole thing, and yet he gets the part of the notoriety of it.
Yeah. That's exactly on the mark. What's going on here? I don't know. So he says to his friend, Michti, who governed the Baal the Baba, who governed Havai? My boy Socha, you are my enemy. What are you doing here? Kum puk, get up and get out. I'm throwing you out. I'm here ready, let me stay. I'll pay my own meal. You're not going to lose on me. I'll pay you my few dollars for my meal. So he said to him, "Lo, no, I don't care. Get out." I'll pay for half the cost of this meal for the whole party. Amale lo. Amale yehivne loch to make kula suda sech. I'll pay for the entire suda. Amale lo. Nekit nakte biyade v'oikme v'afke. He picked him up with his hands and threw him out. Physically threw him out in front of the entire assembly. Now, Omar, so the victim, Bar Kamsa said, Hoyo v'have yase rabon v'lemachube. Who was present at this party? The Rabbanon. Shmamino konichule, they approve of this behavior. They approve of how I was disgraced. You know what? I will take revenge. Ezel echul bei kurtza bei malka. I will go to the king and I will tell the king that the Jews are rebelling and I will cause trouble for the Jewish community in Yerushalayim. I will cause... Now, obviously, this was just the last Jew that broke the back of the camel. There was a gezer ben hashemayim, there was going to be a churban, and there was sinas chinam. This is not the only story of sinas chinam. This was just the last Jew that broke the camel's back and ignited the churban of the Beis HaMikdash. There was a lot already in place. And so a fascinating idea. Who brings this down? I don't even know who brings this down, where this comes from. Is this person... You have to study the history of the time. During this time, during the Churban, we know that they were the Biryoinim. Remember the Biryoinim? They were the real rough extremists. They didn't want to make peace with the Romans. They wanted to fight. And then there were the Prushim. The Prushim are the Rabban, the Talmidei Chachamim. They wanted to surrender. They wanted to make peace. They were Talmidei Chachamim. They were not violent. And then there were people, I don't remember all the names, the people in the middle. And there was a group of people that Tzedokim and the Baitosim. They were a very big problem. These two groups of people, that Tzedokim and the Baitosim, they were Jews, and they had their own version of the religion. They didn't believe in Torah Sheba'al Peh, they only believed in Torah Sheba'al Sav. They were very big, so there was a very small group of the beginning of Christianity was forming at this point in time, a group of the followers of Yeshu. When was Yeshu born? Or was he born? That's all another whole story. But that was another group. So some of the Farshim, this person, Bar Kamsa, was wavering between being part of the Tzedokim and being part of the Prushim. He couldn't make up his mind. He davened in the Orthodox shul, but he made trouble. He was on the board, and he was suggesting, why not have an organ? Why not? He was put down. He couldn't find himself. He was a shtickel tztuki, a shtickel parsh. He didn't know, he couldn't find his place, and he was wavering back and forth. And he posed a very great dilemma for the Rabbanan. They did not know how to deal with him. On the one hand, he did not go over the boundary. You know, there are certain types of people in Klal Yisrael, everything is politics, we know that. And there are things which are over the line. You pass the red line, and that's it. I mean, you're a great guy. We love you. I'll eat in your house. You're Shomer Shabbos, Torah Mitzvos. You're better than me. I know that you're a bigger tzaddik. I have no doubt. Salt kami many. But listen, you represent a certain segment of Klal Yisrael, which I don't identify with, and who I represent in my community. It's politics. You're over the red line. And I'm sorry, we all know these type of stories. Even though you're very... And then there are people that are somewhere in the middle. And they're very... Most of us, you're good. Some of us, they're extremists, you're not good. And we have to be sensitive to everyone and satisfy everyone. And you always get yourself blown up in the middle. Whenever you're in the middle, that's... If you know where you're standing, even though you're great, you're wonderful, you're beautiful, not everyone is the same. There are different types of people with different hashkafas. And no one has any tinus. We love you, you're fine, you're good, you hopefully you like us, we'll like you, and we'll keep apart. That's the greatest peace. Everyone knows their place. But when you're in the middle, you can't make anyone happy. If we'll invite you... We'll antagonize this group. We won't invite you, we'll antagonize that. So what do we do? I'm sure you know what I'm referring to. It's a nightmare. It's a landmine. This person was exactly this type of person. He was nishtahi nishtaher. He was wavering. Should it be at Stokey? Should I not be at Stokey? He couldn't find himself. He was not here and not there. What do we do? The Rabbanan are sitting and watching. And this guy says that this guy was making a party for it was a Haredi party, right, for the Prushim. And all the Rabbanim are there. And who shows up? Bar Kamsa, the troublemaker is here. So what are we going to do? Am I going to let him stay here? I'm going to let him stay by the party. Oh, they'll think I'm also becoming the Tzdogi. I'm going to antagonize these Rabbanim. Should I throw him out? It's also not such a good idea. He decided, this person decided, I don't want to take the risk. Get out. I don't want to antagonize. You're somewhere in the middle. The Rabbanon also found themselves, they didn't make a macha, because he was a shtickled stogi. He was a troublemaker. But he wasn't a troublemaker enough where on paper, in the newspapers, you can get away with it. It was somewhere, everyone caught themselves. And that idea is so brilliant, because if you go through the whole Gemara, this is the chut. The chut hashedra, it perfectly defines the whole essence of the whole Gemara. Dilemmas that there's no solution to. They're going to come, okay, we're out of time, they're going to come to the case with the carbon. What do we do? He brings the carbon, he wants to make trouble for us. So what does he do? He brings the carbon, and he takes the carbon, he puts a nick in the lip. So a nick in the lip is a mum that for us is a mum. For the goyim, it's not a mum. So what do we do now? You're stuck in between a rock and a hard place. There's no solution. Every single step of the way in this Gemara is you're stuck. There's no taina on anyone. There's no taina on the Rabban wanting to make a macha. You know why we make a macha? Because he's a troublemaker. He's a tzdoki. He's joining the tzdokim. Well, we're gonna say, yeah, come and join us. We have to make a macha. We can't allow this influence of this Bar Kamsa to continue. Everyone should go and reject the Torah Shabbal Peh. But he's not a mamash at Stoki. He didn't do anything really wrong. Prove it. Show me he's at Stoki. That's the whole essence of this Gemara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished us by giving us nisyonos that there's no solution to. And when there's no solution, what happens? It's worse. It's if we know we have trouble, we have done an avera, and you can define the sin, and we'll get our punishment. Good, give the punishment. Let us be in trouble. At least you know where you're holding. But when you're stuck in the middle, you can't. You know, when your person's not feeling well, and you have to go. You're too tired. You're too tired to work. But you're too awake to fall asleep. You can't fall asleep, and you can't. You're stuck in the middle. It's the worst thing, and that's the whole essence of this Gemara. Let's just run through very quickly a little more. Yeah?
Doesn't the Gemara come down hard on the timidity of his
yes.
name?
And the Sanuso Shell.
Yeah, of
course. Rabbi Zachariah. Let's read a few more lines of the Gemara. Hoyel v'yasa Rabban. So he said, since they did not make a macha, only two men. I want to not go there in quarter two. Hoyel v'yasa Rabban. V'loy v'manichol. Shamina v'kanichol. They're happy. Ozla ichol be'kurs be'malka. I'm going toward the king. I'll tell you one more word. Ozla mo'le kesar. Maru debach yudar. The Jews are rebelling. Amalei miyemer. How do you know? Amalei shadli korban. Send the carbon. Chazus in the carbon lay. If they'll offer it. Ozal, so this far Kamsa was wicked. He shot the beda igla tilsa. They sent a good carbon, and while it was being sent behind the gosh, he shot the muma beniv sifosayim. He nicked the lips. The amulei, some say bidukin shabai. It's a beautiful var. I heard this from Rabbi Pesach Kron on Tisha B'Av. When did I hear this? Many years ago. It's gevald gevar. Duchta dilididon have a muma velididhu lav muma. I was waiting by the internet asifa. The flop. I was waiting for someone to say this. No one said this part. He said this like before the internet existed. He said this part. He says that what was the significance of the mum? It's a drush. It's the lips or in the eyes. The Gemara says that type of blemish is for a goy, is no big deal. When the non-Jews offer sacrifices for their gods, it's not an issue. They're not going to offer a sacrifice that's missing a leg, missing an arm. But they'll gladly offer a sacrifice to a god, to one of their pagan gods, that has a nick in the lip or a little scratch in the eye. It's no big deal. But by Klal Yisrael, it's a mum. What is the Musar Haskel? That what a goy is allowed to look at, and what a goy is allowed to say, We are not allowed that. Now we're talking about mamish. Even the goyim admit you shouldn't be looking at certain things because it'll make you crazy, and it's not a healthy thing to go look at. But let's talk about what you want to look at. A very popular program. Clean as a whistle. Every parent will let their child observe, see such a program. For them, in a chanami, there's nothing wrong. But Klal Yisrael is on a higher level. What for them is not considered to be something which you're not allowed to look at a chassan in the eye, for Klal Yisrael, the Am Kadosh, is a problem. What they, an expression, a certain way of speaking, which for them is no big deal, is respectful, for Klal Yisrael, who has a higher madrega, is forbidden. But how do you explain it to them? Try to explain this to a non-Jew. They'll look at you like you're crazy. What's wrong with looking at this? There's nothing wrong. There's nothing. Everyone is dressed properly. What's wrong with speaking in this way? You're not saying anything that's vulgar. There's a certain sanctity that applies that Klal Yisrael has. They don't appreciate. It's a place. For us, it's a blemish. Another dilemma. Stuck in the middle. How are we going to explain this to the Kesar? We can't accept your carbon because there's a blemish. Blemish? What are you talking about? No blemish. Again, another dilemma. And this goes on and on. We'll have to stop over here. But at least I think you get a little taste of approach the Gemara with everything that we have here. There's no solution. Stuck in the middle. Every word has to be found in the...